Every day in Henderson is important, but there are some times that are just a bit special. And this is one of those weekends. We are so glad that so many of you are here and that you've chosen to be with us this morning. You visitors have probably learned in the last 2 days what we local folks know, that it doesn't take long to spend the night in Henderson. This is a busy place, but we're just grateful that you are here. Our main purpose in coming together this morning is to worship God. But one of the great fringe benefits that we have is to be able to greet one another and to see so many wonderful people together. I'll make a trade with you. I'll try to influence the preacher this morning not to preach too long. If you will not rush away right after the service is over, take a little time, see how many folks you can greet, how many you can meet, and let's just continue to encourage one another. That is so important, as well as our worshiping God. For several years, I've tried to make it the practice on homecoming weekend and making music weekend to use the theme of the programs for that week as the lesson topic on Sunday morning. There have been a few times that it's been rather difficult. I never will forget the week that the theme was, "You've come a long ways, baby." And I had to really do some maneuvering to get, well, we made it. But you may have noticed on the brochure that was handed out to you on campus this week about the homecoming that the theme this year was, "As the Years Go By." That's one of the easiest ones to fit into the framework of God's Word, because it lends itself to our thinking about what I consider to be some very, very important thoughts as the years go by. When I saw that theme for the first time, I immediately thought of the passage that Scott read a moment ago from Psalm 90. This is a psalm of Moses. And Moses said there in that passage that was read that we spend our years as a tale that is told. And then he made the appeal in verse 12 that we apply our hearts to wisdom as the years go by. There is a true sense in which my life and yours is a tale that is told. It is a storybook. There is a way in which each of us is writing on a page of that story even today. There will be a chapter in it as a son or a daughter, perhaps as a husband or a wife, as a father or a mother, as a citizen, in other ways. One of these days, God will decide that the last chapter and the last page will be written, and at that point, he will place that book on his library shelf and keep it till the day of judgment. We'll even be judged out of those things that are written in the books, according to the way we have lived, according to the way we have had the right relationship or the wrong relationship with God and with others. Yes, there is a true sense in which life is a tale that is told, and we need to be concerned about the years as they go by. I want you to think first about this theme on the word years. That says something about the importance of time. Those of us that are middle-aged and in the more mature years understand that better than you younger ones do today. We hear said occasionally that time is worth more than money. It's hard for us to convince ourselves of that fact, because most of the decisions that we make in life have a price tag attached. We are concerned about whether there's enough money to take care of the things that we need, and even Fried Hardeman seems to be concerned about money. But time is more important than money. At least twice in the New Testament, at Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, and Colossians 4, verse 5, the Bible says that we ought to redeem the time. It seems to me that in the context of each of those, it's saying that we ought to take advantage of the time. We ought to realize how important time is. Ephesians' account says we ought to redeem the time because the days are evil. And I think I need not take time this morning to convince us of that. The Colossian account says we ought to redeem the time in wisdom and walk in wisdom toward those that are without, having the right relationship with people, emphasizing people more than things, because time is important. Back in Exodus, the 21st chapter, there is a story about two men who had fought with each other and one of them was injured. The Bible describes the fact that if the injured person revives and lives, that the one who committed the problem or brought the problem about is not to be put to death. But there's a rather interesting statement made. It says, only he shall pay for loss of time. Only he shall pay for loss of time. Even then, God realized how important time is. And that if one takes time away from someone else, in a sense, it's like stealing money from him. He was to restore, he was to repay for the loss of time. Time is extremely important. And we need to recognize that, and we need to understand that even today. But I want you to notice also in this statement, as the years go by, those two little words, go by. The years go by. How quickly they seem to go by as we get older. Most of us have had the experience when we were long about 3 or 4 or 5 years of age, thinking that time would never pass, that another birthday would never come. And then when we get a little older, it seems like that the birthday comes at least twice a year. Time goes by at the same speed. But it seems to go by much faster for us as we get older. Someone had an explanation for that that makes a little bit of sense. The idea was that if you're 5 years old and you live 1 year, you're living 1/5 of everything, every bit that you've already lived, and that's a pretty long time. But if you're 50 years old and you live 1 year, you're just living 1/50 of what you've already lived. And maybe that's one of the reasons that it seems to go by so fast. Whatever the cause, the years are going by. I remember not too long ago that all four of my grandparents were living. I had the privilege of preaching twice with both parents and all four grandparents in the audience. Then I remember after 1985 that I didn't have any grandparents anymore. And after August of this year, my dad is gone. I don't have him anymore. Now, I basically am the oldest male in my immediate family. I've lived with the idea through the years that I had someone to whom I could go for advice. And now the tables have switched a little bit. I'm not for sure that I'm ready for that situation in life, but it's here because the years go by. Job said at Job 7:6 that life goes somewhat like the weaver's shuttle. Most of us have not had the real experience of that, but we have seen it, or we've seen it on television at least, and we know how fast that shuttle goes as the person is weaving. It's the way life is. James said it's as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. One morning this past week, when I got up and looked out, the grass was white with frost. A little later when I looked, the frost was not there. That vapor that had appeared on the grass for a little while was gone. He says that's the way life is. Psalmist at 103, verse 15 said, life is like a flower. We've had some flowers planted in a box there under the window at this end of our house. And now they're beginning to wilt. We're looking for some other kind that can be planted at this time of the year, and then they will be gone, and then they will need to be replaced. Life is like a flower. And here in Psalm 90, a few verses earlier than the text that was read, he says, life is a watch in the night, it is as a flood, it is as a sleep, and it's like the grass that groweth up in the morning, it flourisheth and groweth up in the evening, it is cut down and withereth. The the years go by. And they seem to go by so quickly. It won't be very long until some of you that are the students at Freed Hardeman and the students in high school and elementary school will be the ones that will be the leaders at Freed Hardeman and in the church and in the communities, because the years go by and they seem to go by so swiftly. Time is filled with swift transition. And yes, we do need to hold to God's unchanging hands. But having emphasized the importance of time and the fact that time seems to go by so quickly, the years seem to go by so quickly, let's back up and look at the first part of that theme, as the years go by. What's happening as the years go by? Is there any substance in our lives? Is there any substance to life itself as the years go by? We cannot change the fact that time is passing. We cannot change the fact that it seems to be going by in a fast direction, a fast way, but we can do something about what happens as time goes by. And there are two things today that I would especially emphasize. One is, there are some things that change, and there are some things that do not change. Just think for a moment about the physical buildings on Freed Hardeman's campus and the church here. Some of you can even remember when this building was not here. Some of you even remember when the church building was over on the corner there where the steps are at the house where the Sewells live. I remember when I first came to school at Freed Hardeman that this annex had just been built. There were no buildings back here. I remember playing football on the field where Bader Gymnasium now sits. And now Bader Gymnasium is obsolete, in a sense. I remember eating in the cafeteria where the education department now is. And I've even talked to some who remember playing basketball on the second story of that building. I have to do a little imagination to think about that. But let me say in passing, those of you who think you have problems with Gano ought to have eaten in the cafeteria where I eat. I've never eaten as much ketchup in my life. We had to have something to cover it up. But now think about what has happened building-wise. Education building, activity center, cafeteria, Bible building, Lloyd Auditorium, new sports complex. Think about how things have changed. I remember moving into Paul Gray Hall in September of 1958. I got the corner room on the first floor right there next to that curve. I-40 was not in existence at that time, and all the big trucks came, slowed down in that curve, and then put it to it to go up that little hill. Having come from so far back in the country that we thought every vehicle that came was coming to our house, I like to have never learned how to sleep. And then in January of 1960, Judy and I married, moved into the upstairs apartment over here on Barham in the Galbraith house. Even when we came back here in 87 and I began preaching here, some of the things that are here now were not here then. Things have changed. And I'll tell you, people have changed during that period of time. Styles have changed relative to dress, hair, other things. We've had a lot of things change. And many of those changes have been for the better. We have means today of preaching the gospel that we didn't have 40, 50 years ago. Look at what we can do now with computers. Look at what we can do now with contact, even with our missionaries on the other side of the world, in a matter of a few seconds. Look at all the ways we have to preach God's word today and teach God's word that we didn't have a few years ago. I'm thankful for all of those changes. And I'm not interested in going back to the rub board or even the old Maytag wringer washing machine. Heating the water in the kettle and putting it in that machine for Mother when I was a teenager. I'm thankful for all the changes that have taken place that makes life better for us today. And as long as those changes, folks, are in the area of customs, we need to be thankful for those changes. And I believe even in the church today, we must be willing to make some changes when we have better ways of doing things, so long as those changes are within the boundary of God's Word. We've made a lot of improvements. I remember preaching when there was nothing to stir up the air except the old funeral home fan. I'm thankful, even though sometimes we have a hard time regulating it, I'm thankful that we have the air conditioning and the heating. I'm thankful for all the many changes that have taken place. As the years go by, just look how much better we have it today as far as things are concerned than our forefathers had. And so as the years go by, let's be willing and ready to accept those changes that make things better and make it easier for us to serve God and serve one another. But having said that, and having realized that we need to mature, Hebrews 5, and put away childish things, 1 Corinthians 13, and grow up, let's also emphasize that there are some things that never change. Old customs change, and even some laws change. There are some laws of the land that have changed. The laws of the land in the county court clerk's office have changed relative to marriage, Johnny, since Judy and I were married. Some tests were required then that are not required now. And we can live with these changes in the law as long as the law is being changed by the lawgiver, by the one who has the right to change the law. And we can live with the change of many customs. And sometimes customs help us to do things better. But let's don't change God's word. Because as the years go by, there are some things that are just as set as they've always been. The first chapter of Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. The things that are, they've always been. And if you'll study the context, he's especially talking about the laws of nature. But he's emphasizing something that is very important, and that is that the principle of the matter never changes. The custom may. Even some laws change. God's changed his law from dispensation to dispensation. But the principle of the matter never changes. Truth is truth. And when God speaks in his word is truth, John 17:17. Doesn't make any difference how many laws of the land change, how many customs change. God's word has not changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, yea, and forever, Hebrews 13:5. God's word is truth. The sum of his word is truth, Psalm 119. It is the knowledge of that truth that shall make us free and nothing else. And that truth is truth today just like it was years ago. God's word has not changed. Truth is truth. The need for obedience has not changed. Now, what God requires for obedience is different under the new law than it was under the old law. God had the right to change that law. But the principle of obedience has never changed, and now that we are under a law that is not going to change until the end of this world, we need to realize the importance of obeying the commandments of God. We may have the baptistry in the building today instead of going to the creek like we did when I was baptized, but the Bible still teaches a burial in baptism for the remission of sins. That hasn't changed. We may change the methods or the approach that we take to something, but the commandment of God has not changed one bit. We still have the responsibility to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of sins, just like we always have. And even though the customs have changed to where many actions are accepted today that were not accepted years ago, God's book still teaches repentance. And still calls sin, sin, and identifies it for what it is. That hasn't changed one bit. The styles have changed, but the principle of modesty has not. Even the laws of the land have changed, but the sanctity of the home has not. And so as the years go by, we need to understand that there are some principles that have not changed. The principle of worship is exactly the same today. Oh, we've come from the Lord's table with the white cloth to the trays, and some of us can even remember having come from the one cup or the two cups on the Lord's table. But it's still bread, fruit of the vine, on the Lord's day, and only the Lord's day, and every Lord's day. That hasn't changed. We've improved our singing. We've even had contemporary songs written that may not be bad and can be used as long as they teach the truth, but singing, making melody in our hearts, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is not a matter of opinion today, but is the truth of God's word. It's the principle involved. That hasn't changed. As the years go by, the principle of the matter does not change. God wants obedience. He wants worship. He wants respect for the truth, and yes, he wants service. We may go about our service to one another in different ways today. We may have changed from the holy kiss to the handshake. We may have changed from the washing of feet to giving a cup of coffee. And aren't you thankful that we've made progress in the area of caring for orphans and widows and others who are less fortunate? But the principle of the matter has not changed. It is still service to our fellow men, and through them, service to God. As the years go by, time is important. Time goes swiftly. Customs and laws sometimes change, but the principle of God's message has not and will not change. And we must keep a respect for that word. And for what God has taught us and the principles of the matters that he's given to us, and try to put everything into focus, accepting those changes that will help us do a better work for God, but not accepting the changes that would change anything that's in this book. That's the attitude that we need as the years go by. Whether we're talking about Christian education, our own families, the community, or the church, as the years go by. I've already emphasized that one thing that's not changed is God's plan of salvation. If you would become a Christian today, the only way you can become one is for God to add you to the church. He's still in the adding business today. He hasn't changed to the joining business. He's still in the adding business, and he adds those who obey his will. Still has the same plan of salvation that he's always had. Same blood of Christ to cleanse us. Same respect and obedience that's involved. Same need of being restored when we go astray. The same desire to pray for one another, confess our faults one for another. That hasn't changed. And so the invitation of Jesus stands firm as the years go by. If you need to accept it, come as together we stand and sing.
Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is pleading, oh list to his voice. Hear him today, hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice. Quickly arise and away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
137 will be the song before the Lord's Supper. Number 137.
He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny, was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love, even in death he remembered the thief hanging by his side. He spoke with love and compassion, then he took him to Paris.